today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk, the radio broadcast division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and I'm so glad you've joined us today. You're about to hear the conclusion of a conversation on the topic of handling anger as a mom. Dr. Dobson's guest on this classic broadcast was writer and speaker Julie Barnhill, author of the book She's Gonna Blow. Now, yesterday, Julie explained how exhaustion and loneliness can lead to sudden outbursts of rage and frustration. Julie also shared at the time when she threw her daughter onto a bed and the guilt that she felt afterwards.
I am so ashamed of who I am at times. I pray for mercy. God, please withhold your rightful anger from me. I was so angry at Kristen today. Now I am literally sick to my stomach. Where does this fury come from? How on earth can a 2-year-old make me so crazy? It's as if I have become someone else. I never thought I would become like this as a mom. Does this come from sin? Is it just me? Is it a lack of love? Oh God, is it possible I don't love my child? I want to be a mother who isn't like this. What a horrible, ugly mess. Where does this come from?
Well, that feeling of failure and regret haunts many parents following a breakdown with their kids. Well, today, Julie Barnhill and Dr. James Dobson will continue discussing the causes of emotional buildup and how anger connects to depression. They'll also explore the need for self-assessment and why parents must forgive themselves for past mistakes. Here now is the conclusion of their challenging conversation on this edition of Family Talk.
Julie has written a wonderful book. In fact, I just love the title. It's She's Gonna Blow, Real Help for Moms Dealing with Anger. It's already been immensely successful, and for good reason. There are just lots of moms out there who have trouble with explosive anger, especially when their children are very young. Julie has been very candid about her own struggles and what she's learned, as she's a popular speaker and a former school teacher. She and her husband, Rick, live in Illinois, and they have 3 children. I was very involved in the interview with Julie, and the time did get away from us, so it's really good to have her back. I have dealt with so many families over the years, and this matter of anger is a pervasive problem. I talked about it in my first film series, and that was 1979. And just imagine a young mother with little children just pushing her all day long. And these kids are making messes, and they definitely do not want to do what the mother is telling them to do. And it is really very difficult, especially when you don't have the tools or the know-how to deal with that frustration and anger. And, you know, many mothers of small children are very young themselves. They're 20, 21, 22, 23, and don't in some cases have control of their own emotions, and then they get pushed over the line, and that's where child abuse comes from. So it's very, very important that we give those parents some tools, some understanding of how to deal not only with the child's behavioral problems, but with their own emotions as well, especially when you've got a strong-willed child or an ADD child that is going to push you as far as possible. Because she would give her life for those children. She would. She'd lay down her life for them. And yet she acts like that. You know, and if she's a Christian mom, she certainly knows that she shouldn't be responding that way. And so there are just many women out there who find themselves kind of in this trap where they have overwhelming guilt, but don't know how to deal with it. Now, Julie said last time that her book is partly autobiographical. She's been there, and she's had to deal with it personally, and that's why what she writes has such a ring of truth to it. Julie, you speak all over the country. You've been on national television repeatedly, and you're out there meeting people. You hear the affirmation that I'm talking about, don't you?
Absolutely. I probably have 12 or 15 1,500 emails on my computer at home from moms. I get, on average, 2 to 3 a week.
In your book, you talk about styles of blowing up,
yes,
if you will, related to a volcano.
Yes, Little Mount Mama.
And four types of volcanoes.
Yes.
Describe them very quickly.
Well, the first one, the Hawaiian, which is the Discovery Channel, the real pretty volcano that just slowly kind of
seethes,
right, blubs over, and it doesn't look that dangerous, but it slowly just takes over the landscape, and it's black and crusty on the top, and underneath is this volatile lava,
and that is nagging the children, and
exactly kind of passive aggressive behavior that we can have,
yeah,
and yeah, and our negativity, and often a mother maybe who's like that is the one who says, well, I don't have a problem with anger.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just concerned about this, or I'm just trying to do this. The second type, and, you know, these get progressively more dramatic. The second is the Vulcanian, and more solid pieces come out of a Vulcanian eruption. And the Stromboli, which is on the island of Stromboli, Italy, and it just goes off the same time every day. I mean, tourists come and put their yard chairs up there and watch it. You just know, same bat time, same bat channel, mm-hmm, you know, when you blow up. And your children know that. And a lot of times I think we say, well, you know, it's just the way I am. And, you know, there's nothing that we can do about that. And then the final one, which is the one that we're all scared to death of and we don't want to talk about, and is really where I was when I threw Kristen that day, is the Pelion, which is the Mount St. Helens, mm-hmm, when there's just utter destruction. And, you know, we've read the stories of mothers who have, in one act of irrational anger, have harmed their children. And, you know, sometimes that has been fatal, that we've heard those. And that terrifies, hmm, you know, to the core of our being as mothers.
Julie, we're talking to people who fall in all four of those categories now, and they're glued to the radio because they find themselves there, and they don't know what to do about it.
Mm.
They don't know where to start. First of all, what's going on? What's causing the buildup of lava,
mm-hmm,
you know, the magma, as it's called, down underneath that's going to blow?
I have found there's different pressures that we need to look at in that. And one of those main ones, and you know this, Dr. Dobson, is the pressure of the past. And what is this is what you don't know until you're there, how your childhood and all of those things play into that. And I shared earlier that, you know, I am adopted and was adopted age 3 or 4. And for 27 years, I truly believed that adoption did not affect me adversely in any way. The family that adopted me, I was prized and cherished and, you know, just an only child. And it was perfect, you know, a princess type thing. So I had Kristen, and I start feeling like I want to leave her. I want to flee from this. And I didn't know where that came from. So I just pushed that down. I didn't even acknowledge that to myself. And then Ricky Neal was born. And when I was 27 years old, the phone rang one day in my house, and it was my birth father. And I do to this day do not know how he found my number. And boy, did that set off... Oh, gosh, that set off some things that I had no idea I was dealing, you know, was inside of me.
So there are experiences from the past that are down there that
exactly
haven't been dealt with.
Exactly. You know, and maybe divorce, you know, your family of divorce, or maybe you've experienced abuse, you know, as a child growing up, and you swear you're not going to do that, or you think you've gotten that behind you. And, you know, those kids come in and just start kind of pushing some buttons, and you find that coming in. The second pressure I find are what I call the pressures from within. And boy, what I want to say, and as I was writing this book and as I was going through some counseling, the thing that really resonated with me that I sensed the Lord wanted me to understand is how marvelously complex I am as a woman. And I think sometimes we fail to think about that. I ask mothers when I speak, I'll say, how many times a day do you think you bend down? And, you know, just bend from the knees. Mm. How many times a day do you just pick up a child physically, the things that you're doing, hormonally, how complex we are every day, the level's different. And then you bring in the finances and you bring in the relationship you're trying to keep with your husband and, you know, all of these things and that pressure. And then the third pressure would be the child itself. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know, it's just three things, the things they say, the things they do, and the way that they are. You know,
that's enough.
It's no big deal. Yeah, exactly.
It's really strange within the Christian community that some diseases are okay to have and they are okay to be treated with medications, and other diseases are somehow unchristian and somehow contradictory to what we believe. Depression is one of those things. Christians shouldn't feel depressed. Well, the truth of the matter is, as you said, Julie, we are very complex human beings. And if there are medications that help, as long as they're properly taken and properly supervised and not done to excess, and that they're right for that circumstance, it is no more wrong to take that medication than it would if you had an infection and you were taking an antibiotic. It's really kind of silly to think that this one's okay and that one's not. But I think the reason people stand and cheer is for that reason right there, because mm-hmm. you're saying that I needed that, and somebody needed to tell me it was okay.
That's exactly it. You know, I've interviewed enough that sometimes people's like, oh, Julie, these stories, is it really hard to tell these stories? And I said, you know, God just gave me that gene where it's okay. I mean, I like to say what that woman has thought is unable to say.
You are being helpful to people because you've allowed people to see the person inside.
Right.
And if you don't do that, you don't touch them at all.
No, and what benefit are we? You know, and this will speak of the grace. And I will say this to women. If we would just be grace-filled to one another, you know, you can blame males and you can blame the culture and all that, but we hold within our grasp the ability to change this with women to women. And if we would just be gracious, think about church, Dr. Dobson, when there's a baby, you know, in the back of the auditorium and crying and interrupting and you're not hearing the sermon and you're thinking, you know, we have a perfectly good nursery. Why don't they go put that kid in the nursery? And we will turn and crane our necks to see that child. And that mother knows every eye is on her. And also there's that message, why don't you have that kid in the nursery? Or if they're in here, why don't you make them behave? And I just say, you know, grace says, don't turn around. Don't look.
She's struggling enough.
She's struggling.
As it is.
Exactly.
She hears it.
She knows what's going on.
She can
exactly.
see it. Well, let's talk specifically to the woman out there who is so guilt-ridden today. In fact, to illustrate the situation that she's in and the way she feels, I have asked for a little short recording, a little clip to be queued up for us today that was actually part of a Renewing the Heart broadcast. This call could have come from a million women today, but here's one of them.
I have been very angry in the past 10 years, and just this week, God has shown me that He wants to use me, and He wants to use my mouth, but He can't until I get rid of the anger.
Yeah, I would like to have talked to her myself. Yeah. I would like to have found out a little more about what her background is and why she is feeling the way she is. What would you say to her?
Boy, you know, the first thing is we all know that it's wrong. We don't need anybody preaching at us and telling us. We know that. The first thing, boy, is that grace. Is that grace, the scripture verse that I have held on to all my years of mothering, 2 Timothy 2:13, when we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. He is faithful. He loves us. And Dr. Dobson, the reality is that He is crazy about us. Mm-hmm. God is crazy about us as women, not just as a mother, not to be a good mom, not to be a great wife and a dynamic speaker and all those things.
He loved us enough to die for us.
Yes, and He loves us. And He is crazy about me. And I tell mothers, and I would tell this mother, that same love that you have when you held that baby, the same way that you look forward to seeing that child when you've been away for just a few hours or a time, that is the same love times, you know, X, infinity and beyond that God has for us.
Do you hear the condemnation in her voice?
Oh, she knows it.
Yeah, she knows it. And she knows what she's doing is not right. But I don't know that she feels that God has any understanding at all of her or what is going on inside
and that he
of her.
Can use her like until I get fixed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of what I heard. You know, when I get things fixed, then he can use me. And I have just found that, boy, he will use us right there. And I tell moms, and I would tell her, you know, one thing. You just choose the one thing that you want to do. And if that's sarcasm was a big thing for me in the way I spoke towards my children.
Mm.
And I'd say, yeah, good job, Einstein. You know, that was something I said a lot. And I said that out loud. And I said, Lord, help me remove that from my speech pattern. And I worked on that one thing for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Would you agree that this woman needs to talk to somebody?
Oh, absolutely.
She needs to talk to a pastor.
And someone with wisdom, exactly.
Or a counselor, somebody who really does understand what's going on here.
You know, I don't think you know this, but I called twice into counseling.
Did you really?
Right after my birth father called.
Yeah.
I called, and here's the thing. I think, you know, it takes so much nerve to call. And then you think, okay, I need to get it all in within 45 seconds. You know, I don't, what if they think I'm boring or this is stupid? And that counselor, and I think he talked to me over an hour. And I have his name somewhere because I record, you know, in journal. And I spoke with him and he simply gave me some hope. And then after Shirley, after you all aired a tape one time of Shirley's background with the alcoholism in her family, I called again. And that counselor said, you know, Julie, you are a survivor of alcoholic parents. And I never believed that since I never lived with them.
Hmm.
But there, you know, are ramifications of that.
What else do you recommend for that mother that's blowing, that's just not able to control it?
Well, you know, I like to... first of all, that nothing is unforgivable. So to start there and to go in prayer and say, God, you know how ugly it is. And I want forgiveness for this. And I want change for this. And give me a heart for my children. Another thing I just, you know, I like to talk to moms about, let it go. The power of three words, let it go. Because that's grace summarized. And there are schedules. You know, that sometimes we are blowing it in anger in the minivan, I'm telling you, and in the church parking lot on Sunday morning, it's just unreal what can go on. And I say, choose the best, let go of the rest. And here's the thing, though, what we're doing is usually all good things, but we really do have to choose the best thing. Because if I'm wigging out and I'm irritated and resenting my children because all I'm doing is chauffeuring them around and I'm losing my temper, what effect is that? And this is what we did. We cut back and I homeschooled, actually. I mean, talk about a dramatic thing, but I wanted to have a heart for my children again. And I homeschooled. The first year was horrible, absolutely horrible. The second year was better. The third year was sublime. It was just wonderful. And it gave me a tenderness and a love for my children. We have cut back on the extra, you know, activities. Guess what? If Joe Bob doesn't play soccer as a four-year-old, it's not going to stun his professional career. And, you know, and this isn't anything that you haven't had other people say and you haven't said, but it's kind of one of those, hello, you know, and if that's part of the problem, then we have to do that. And I like to do proactive things that we can do with our children. One of the things I love to tell moms to do, ask them to do, is to play a game called I Love You More Than. And Patrick, my youngest, he was really pretty irritated that he didn't have any stories in this book. And he came to me as I was finishing up the manuscript, because I read it, you know, to the kids and made sure everything was okay to print. And he had his arms crossed and he said, Mom, where are all my stories? And I said, well, Patrick, by the time you came along, you know, I kind of had this thing going a little bit better. And he pouted and he looked at me, he goes, Mom, I love you more than pigs and ice cream. And then he just took off running. And Patrick and I have this running dialogue. I love you more than Pepsi. I love you more than chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream.
I played the same game with my daughter.
Really?
And it was at the end of every day. It was at night, right before she went to sleep. And it got wider and wider and wider.
Exactly.
And the last thing was the first one to get to. I love you more than the whole universe. There wasn't anything else.
Trump that. Yeah, you can't do it.
Let's recap here what we've got so far. First of all is spiritual help. You got to deal with your relationship with the Lord, because He's there and He cares and He will help in prayer. The second is to deal with fatigue. I am absolutely convinced that the American way of life is responsible for the greatest portion of all this, because when you're totally worn out, you have no reserve. It's like an army with no reserve unit, and you fight on the front lines, and then you collapse because there's nothing left. And you mentioned that. The third is medication. And there is a place for that. So you need a good physician who will talk you through this. The fourth is counseling. You didn't mention getting the husband involved in that counseling situation, but I think he needs to understand you. Mm-hmm. He needs to know in a little more detail than you shared at the time what you were going through.
Absolutely.
Because he can be a resource for you if he's understanding and compassionate. So you might drag him along with you. And in fact, he may be the cause of some of the anger or the depression. So you need to work through that. And fifth, the matter of understanding. You know, we talked the first day about PMS. We talked about the complex chemistry of the body. It helps to understand what's going on and then preparing for it and not dealing with big, heavy things at night. Shirley and I have an absolute policy. When we're worn out, it's 10 o'clock at night and something has really been bothering both of us, I will not talk about that till the morning. And so in the morning, we can deal with it. At night, it's a lot harder. Mm-hmm. There's some tips like that of things that you can learn. Anything else you want to suggest?
Well, you know, part of that last one is to know your child, you know, to know their personality. And we study so many things, but do we study our children? And to parent accordingly. And you have said this, I've heard you say this, you know, you cannot parent every child, you know, the same way. And boy, we need to get that through our heads. Hmm. And we interact differently with each child. Doesn't mean you love one more or love one less. It's just how you are with that individual child.
Julie, another very, very useful and practical and fun broadcast today. This is our second day. The name of the book is She's Gonna Blow, Real Help for Moms Dealing with Anger, Julianne Barnhill. And a lot of people have endorsed or recommended this book. You are available to speak
absolutely
around the country.
Yes,
that ought to wear you out. Yeah. You'll be depressed again.
You
really have a sense of mission about this.
Oh,
don't
I do.
You?
I do, and it energizes me. And I just want women and fathers and foster care grandparents. You know, so many. I mean, we didn't talk about that at all, but so many grandparents who are having to raise children. You know, their grandchildren.
That's a tough one.
Exactly.
I really do wish we had time to talk about that today, because there are many people out there in that situation. They thought they had their job done as parents, and then they wind up raising yet another generation. But we're simply out of time. So, Julie, we're going to have to save that topic for another day. I just want to say that I appreciate so much you taking the time to be our guest. But most of all, I value your heart and your candor in helping mothers and your own openness about your struggles in this area. That honesty is going to be very helpful to many mothers today. Thank you, Julie.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, that is certainly an honest conversation on the topic of controlling your anger as a parent. After listening to today's broadcast, I hope that you realize that there are no perfect parents. Everyone struggles and messes up from time to time. You can learn from your mistakes and allow grace to remove the guilt that may be plaguing your life, though. And when you visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org, you'll find a link for Julie Barnhill's helpful book on this topic. It's titled, She's Gonna Blow. There you can also listen to the first part of their conversation from yesterday's broadcast. You'll find all that and much more at drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto the broadcast page. Are you tired of missing our broadcasts while you're in the car or working around the house? Well, you can take advantage of our easy-to-use Station Finder feature and solve that problem once and for all. Go to drjamesdobson.org, then click the Family Talk Radio Stations button under the broadcast menu. Once you're there, you'll see our new interactive map of radio affiliates, and there are lots of them. Simply click onto your home state to see where and when our show will be airing near you. You can stop aimlessly scanning the radio, hoping to find Dr. Dobson and Family Talk. Give yourself a break and use our helpful station finder feature when you go to drjamesdobson.org. You'll be glad you did. Well, that's all the time we have for this week of broadcasts here on Family Talk. Join us Monday as we honor Sanctity of Human Life Week with meaningful broadcasts on that topic that you will definitely appreciate. I hope you'll be with us next time right here for more of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, wishing you and yours a blessed weekend.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for listening to Family Talk. You going through a tough time right now? Can't see your way out? You think there's no hope? We'd love to talk to you. I want you to know this. Dr. Dobson has been doing this for a long time, and he really cares about you so much that we'd love to talk to you right now. You can actually call us toll-free. Our number is 877-732-6825. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be challenged. You're going to find new hope. You know why? Because God really does care about you. He loves you. And Dr. Dobson cares about you too. Call us now, 877-732-6825.